Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, November 11th, 2018.
First reading, Kings, chapter 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which now belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And then he called her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as he was going to bring it, he called her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, and only a handful of flour in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. Then afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus say the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went as did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading, Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ has entered, not into the two holy places made with hands, which are copies of true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with the blood not his own. For then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and light greetings in the marketplace, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, had put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This is the gospel of our Lord."
Display.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, my dear friends, I must make admission to you. I've probably said it to you before, but there are times in life when a pastor's creative well can run dry. As I studied the gospel text for this particular weekend, I found myself at one of those difficult crossroads. I count the story of the poor widow who gave her last two coins as one of my favorite biblical accounts. It's a very clear call to rely on God's gracious supply cannot be mistaken or ignored. And this story has served to influence me in my own personal walk with my Lord Jesus Christ. God grant that it may do the same for you. Now, admittedly, today's text is quite often dusted off by pastors and used for those stewardship sermons that all people need to hear and some people do their best to avoid. And I suppose that's why I found myself wrestling with this particular text. Having just recently celebrated our stewardship weekend, how do I deliver this word without making you tired? How do I deliver it to you in a faithful and yet fresh manner? Well, after meditating upon the text and meditating, I continue to find myself at a dead end. So, I sought out the counsel of several fellow shepherds, one of whom offered a most unique, unusual suggestion. He encouraged me to go home and sit down and watch a film to seek out inspiration. Admittedly, I was skeptical. And the name of the film? Babette's Feast? Come on! This sounds like a Lifetime movie. And I confess, I'm not into what many guys call chick flicks. Give me a little Clint Eastwood, okay? Babette's Feast? Not a film that would typically earn my time or attention. But as I continue to look at that text and struggle, I realize that desperate men do desperate things. So I took my friend's advice. I sat down and I watched Babette's Feast. Has anybody ever here seen that movie? Okay. Not surprised. Had one young lady this morning. Young lady said she did. I was surprised. There she is. Thank you, Marion. And Caleb, too. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Well, suffice to say, I sat down and I watched Babette's Feast, okay? So, spoiler alert. The story takes place in a small village in Denmark in the 1800s. Two sisters live there with an elderly father, a rather strict man who just happens to be a minister. Well, the two daughters are beautiful women. They enjoy the attention of many and varied suitors, much to the father's consternation, because none of them can meet with their protective father's very high standards. I admit I have that problem as well. Well, one day a woman arrives at the door carrying a letter of reference from one of those suitors. The woman's name is Babette. She is a refugee from France. She is looking to escape the social turmoil that is taking place back home. And so the woman agreed to employ Babette as a housekeeper and as a cook. We quickly come to learn that Babette is a gifted chef. She remains with the family for 14 years. And during that time, she grows very close with them as well as with many members of the community. And then one day, Babette receives notice from home. She is the recipient of an inheritance, a sizable one. So very elated, she plans on returning to her native Paris to pursue her dream. She wants to become a renowned chef. But before Babette leaves, she plans a lavish meal to honor those friends who took her in when she had absolutely nothing. And a lavish feast it is. She purchases all sorts of exotic foods that no one there had ever heard of. She buys the finest of wine. She also buys imported china and crystal on which to serve the people there. And many guests come and enjoy the greatest meal they've ever had. But when the feast is all done and over, we quickly learn that Babette spent every penny she had inherited in the preparation of that meal. And ultimately, she would stay on as the family housekeeper and cook. So I guess you could say Babette gave all that she had. Our Lord Jesus Christ saw all sorts of people in the temple. There were all sorts of renowned teachers, including the scribes who liked to walk around in their long and flowing robes, praying loud prayers out loud for all the crowd and the congregation to hear. And then, of course, when time came for the offering, those scribes enjoyed putting their money in the plate in front of everybody, just so everyone could see how very generous they were. But what they did was of no interest to Jesus at all. Instead, it was that poor widow who caught Jesus' attention. This woman, she gave 2 copper mites, equals about a penny. And that tells us she was probably a beggar. But just like Babette, her gift was the greatest gift of all, because it was all she had to give. Now, what do you think? Just like Jesus, right? He gave you everything you have. All the wealth and riches of the universe are at his disposal. They were his to do with as he pleased. But instead, Jesus gives you something better. He gives his life for you. Because that, my friends, is what you really need. You don't need a few valuable pointers on how to live your best life now. You don't need a helping hand. You don't need a guide to reform your life. You need a new life. And that's what Jesus offers to you. To kill your life now. To put it to death with all of its sins and evil desires. Its love for things and self-satisfaction and self-preservation. Jesus says to you, come, follow me, and die to all of that. And I will make you this promise. I will give you a new life that never ends. Of course, there are people who say the widow should have hung on to her 2 coins. After all, a penny? What good is that? What good is that indeed? You know, actually, this reminds me of another story. Do you remember that story when the woman came to Jesus and poured expensive perfume out on his head? While an angry Judas cried out that she should have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor. The poor, of course, meaning Judas. Different stories. What do they have in common? My friends, we can always come up with reasons not to give. But Jesus saw this poor woman's faith as the greatest gift of all. Bigger than that of all the richest people in Jerusalem. This poor widow was poverty stricken. Now, I think we'd all agree that poverty can be a great curse. But you know, poverty can also be the greatest of blessings. It's a curse when it fills your heart with worry and anxiousness, your mouth with complaints, or when it leads you to unbelief and dishonesty. And poverty can be a blessing when it moves a person to cast himself upon God, who has promised to care for you and for all who come to him. And suffice to say, you come this day and you see the proof in what God gave for us all, his Son. And when his Son came, he gave all that he had, his very life. Now, admittedly, in this world and culture in which we live today, a world where life is defined by who you are and what you have, that may not look like much to many people. And it's true, isn't it? Life today in this world seems to have lost so much of its value. We see thousands of people dying every day. But for God, his life was all he had, and he gave it all for you. Jesus' death is everything to you. His death makes the difference between life and death for you. His death makes you right with God. His death brings you forgiveness before God. And his death means that you can live forever. That's because his death brings you God's peace. A peace to which nothing in this fallen world can ever compare. Back to Babette for a moment. Babette spent all her money on one meal because she was thankful for the people she had served. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what are you thankful for? For life? For health? A job? A family? A place to live? Good food to eat? Nice clothes to wear? Jesus himself says that God gives these things to you and to everyone, even those people who don't believe in him. But Christians learn to give thanks for their daily bread. And they know that God is the source of all good things in your life and for good things after this life ends. That's the Christian. The Christian is a person who is thankful. And one of the ways we give thanks is to give offerings. Now, usually, the poor believer will give more in the offering percentage-wise than the rich person. Why is that? Well, perhaps because they know what it's like to be without. And they have learned how gratefully and graciously God takes care of them. Look at the people of Jerusalem. They all gave what was over and above what they needed. And there was a lot of money going into that collection box on that day. And yet our Lord Jesus Christ said that the poor woman gave more than all of them. The poor woman gave out of her poverty all that she had. That's called sacrifice. That's called faith. She completely placed herself into the hands of God, who could and who would provide for her far better than two pennies and perhaps more than a billion times that. How great was her faith. Many people who have enough to live on give little because they are afraid they will not have enough for the future. Those people give from a lack of faith. And that robs them of giving what God is truly his. That robs their giving of its true value, and it robs them of the joy of giving. The widow's offering, even though it was copper, was pure gold in the eyes of the Lord. My friends, consider, how do your gifts look in his eyes? Here's what you do. Copy the widow's faith. Give it your all. Be like him. Trust in him. And the size of your gift will take care of itself. Ah, yes, Babette, she gave everything to put on her meal. And on this morning, the Lord gives you everything in his supper. For this is his own body and blood given for you to restore you. My dear friends, as you come to this altar this day, receive that gift by faith. And be sure to give thanks for this blessed meal, and all that Jesus has done for you and continues to do for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love.
His love endures forever. By the grace of God.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.